from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
9:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com, he is Jacob Calvin Meyer. What's up, JCM?
What's up, fellas? I got a question for you. Is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich a suitable thing to have for breakfast?
100%. Yeah,
absolutely. A little protein there. Absolutely. A little carbs for your workout later.
Jacob, we work mornings. We start drinking at 11.
Yeah.
So it's all okay.
See, honey, they say peanut butter and jelly is okay for breakfast.
Are you using us as a reference for your wife?
I'm just saying. She said she's making herself an egg, and, you know, I said peanut butter and jelly's fine.
I saw somebody take a hot dog roll, put peanut butter on one side, jelly on the other side, and a banana in the middle, and now I got to have it. I'm going to do it. I might do that for breakfast, JCM.
Well, Jacob Calvin Meyer, we're looking at this Oriole team and look at what they do right now. Evidently, there's an issue. There were reports over the weekend that there's some issues in the clubhouse. Is that what we're looking at with the Orioles, or are we looking at a team that's just tired and going through a slump?
Yeah, I should probably be careful here, shouldn't I? I don't believe that there were any really technical reports about issues in the clubhouse, and I haven't seen anything of the like. That doesn't mean that that's not the case, or that it can't be the case, right? It's a stressful time of the year. Guys are being traded. Guys are on the market. They've lost, you know, something like 10 of the last 15 games. You know, the Austin Hayes trade was surprising and took
yes,
some people by surprise, because, you know, you trade away a guy that's been important to this team and you know, was an all-star last year. But at the same time, I think this is a clubhouse that's seemingly just fine. I don't see anything, any issues in that clubhouse at the moment.
Okay. What does Zach Eflin do for this team?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
bitch.
First,
shut up.
I think if you look at what Kyle Gibson did for this team last year, Zach Eflin gives you that, but at a higher ceiling and a higher floor. So Zach Eflin is a veteran. He's a strike thrower. He's got six pitches. He's, from all accounts, a really good guy in the clubhouse. And at the same time, last year he was, you know, finished sixth in AL Cy Young voting, so he's got a pretty high ceiling. This year he's pitched at least five innings in all but one start, and so he's got a pretty high floor as well. This is a guy who you can trust and reliably send out there for game three of a playoff series, and he has team control through next year. I thought he made the most sense of anybody on the market, on the starting pitching market, and especially because of the fact that he's due $18 million next year, and they didn't have to give up any of their top 12 prospects to get him.
He doesn't walk anybody either.
Well, JCM, now that I might be the only guy on the show that follows you and reads your article, so I know you called the Zach Eflin trade. Did the Baltimore Sun give you, like, a raise for that, or how did you know Zach Eflin was going to be the guy?
Well, firstly, if anybody wants that, they can feel free to email anybody at the Baltimore Sun to get me a raise. I'm more than open to it.
He's got a kid, for crying out loud, son.
He can only eat peanut butter.
No, listen, everybody, the trade deadline, everybody loves to get they love to convince themselves that anything's possible. Oh my God, they're gonna get Tarik Skubal. They're gonna trade for Garrett Crochet. They're gonna get like the most attractive guys on the market. They're gonna do something crazy. They're gonna give up Jackson Holiday, and that's just not one. That's typically not how the deadline works. And two, that's just not how so far. That's not how Mike Elias has operated. They got Corbin Burns in the offseason, which was a big move. But to do that, they didn't have to give up any of their top prospects to get Corbin Burns. And so this is a front office that consistently and repeatedly for the past 6 years has made pragmatic and measured decisions that have worked out. And Zach Eflin, when you look at it, because of all the reasons of him being consistent, him being under team control through next year, which what they need badly because Corbin Burns is gone, John Means isn't back, Kyle Bradish is going to be maybe back late next season. They needed a starting pitcher who had team control through next year, and they didn't have to give up any of their top prospects to get him. So when you looked at the market a couple weeks ago, I thought that Zach Eflin made the most sense, and I am glad to say that I was right.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Jacob, who is going to be playing second base for the Orioles by season's end?
Jackson Holiday. I think it is possible that he stays down the rest of the year and then comes back up next season. But I don't think that's likely. I think the most likely outcome here is that once he is back to playing second base every day in AAA Norfolk, because he's dealing with that elbow thing he's still rehabbing from. Once he's back doing that, especially if Jorge Mateo is out for the year with his elbow thing, I think it's more likely that Jackson Holiday is up here playing second base at least every day against right-handed pitchers. It is possible, if you look at this roster too, that Jackson Holiday and Connor Norby could form somewhat of a platoon at second base, with Connor Norby playing against lefties, Jackson Holiday playing against righties. Now, Connor Norby could be somewhere else in a couple of days. But I think if you look at this team, I think their goals with these moves might be that in a couple of weeks that Coby Mayo and Jackson Holiday are up here and playing pretty regularly.
So since you predicted the Eflin trade, what can we expect next? Because I don't think they're done.
I'm done with predictions. I'm gonna go out with a win. No, I think there's a lot of talk about a right-handed bat that can play outfield, and that's possible. I just find it unlikely. Again, just pure speculation. I find it unlikely because they just traded away a right-handed bat who plays outfield, who they know is good,
yeah,
who can hit lefties. And so, if they felt like that was a need, then why do you give up? Why do you give up Austin Hayes? And so, I'd be a little bit surprised if they get a right-handed bat who can play outfield. I don't know what they're going to do with Christian Pache. He's a great defender. He's got some speed. He can play center field. He can't really hit. I mean, he's serviceable against lefties. He's got like a high 600 OPS against lefties.
He's like at the Mendoza line every year.
It's a waste.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. Waste.
Maybe they see him as a Ryan McKenna type, who's frankly a better defender, somebody that you can reliably. But if you think of this, you know, Ryan McKenna was used for years as a defensive replacement for Anthony Santander. If they use Pache in that same role, an outfield of Kowser in left, Mullins in center, and Pache in right is the best defensive outfield in baseball. It would only be for the last two innings of a game or something.
Right.
But I think there is some value in that. But I think the more likely outcome that most people see is that Pache won't be on this team. So I don't really see a right-handed bat. I do see getting another arm. If it's a starting pitcher that can further stabilize this rotation, and then you can move Suarez to the bullpen full time, that will help your bullpen, or they might get a bullpen arm to really help that bullpen in. And I think a lot of people are hoping that it's somebody that can slot into the back end because of what we've seen with Kimbrel recently.
Sounds like you're pashing on Pache. This is real, but sounds like the whole room's doing here. Almost did my Sean Connery there, too.
You were doing the Sean Connery
thing. I didn't quite do it. Hey, JCM, I want to ask you, because I think the right-handed bat might be in our farm system. I think it might be Coby Mayo once he gets caught up. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's the more likely outcome. The problem with Mayo is he doesn't play outfield. And so there's, you know, how are they going to fit all of these pieces together? Because their lineups for most of the season against lefties have already been pretty weird at times. Like for a stretch there, Colton Cowser was really only playing against lefties, which was kind of strange. And now he's back into playing, you know, sort of every day. And so the thing with Mayo is I think, of course, he's going to be up here at some point by year's end, unless he gets hurt. And so, but where does he slot in? Is, you know, his defense at third base is relatively suspect. He hasn't played a ton of first base in the minor leagues. They haven't put him into the outfield yet. Now is not the time to do it. That's more something you do in the offseason or in spring training. Yeah. And so is he more of a DH? Do you platoon him? Do you just have him play against lefties? That seems to be a little bit of a waste or could hurt his development. And so there's a lot of questions. That's why I think the Mayo thing is the main thing driving the Mountcastle talk about, are they going to trade away Mountcastle because you've got this guy in Kobe Mayo that you want to call up, you want to find playing time for. But as we saw yesterday, you know, Seth Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle still have value to this team. And so it is a little bit of a risk if you give up somebody that you know can produce at the major league level. Maybe doesn't have the high of a ceiling as Kobe Mayo, but a guy that you know can produce at the major league level in place of somebody that, you know, there are still question marks about Kobe Mayo. He has not faced major league pitching yet. So that is a big question mark moving forward.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, how can folks follow you on social media for trade updates?
You can follow me for trade updates and any peanut butter and jelly talk at J. Calvin Meyer on Twitter. And appreciate you guys always for having me.
It's the Baltimore Sun. Pay him. Pay
local
that man
restaurant
money.
Serves fried PBJ.
Fried?
Yeah. Fried right down the street.
I've had peanut butter and jelly wings. They're delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing how healthy you are eating this great food.
You just talked about a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I didn't eat it.
Jeremy Carr's Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris is Commissions Baltimore.
Yeah, Jeremy and I were talking about this off air before. I am so freaking frustrated with the American media right now. They are more akin to Al Jazeera and Pravda than, like, you know, Edward Amaro's day. This has gotten out of hand and it's got to change. So we'll discuss, you know, some of the things going on right now.
Commissions Baltimore up next on the Fan. It's time for Commissions Baltimore. What you got, Eddie?
I'm going to take a swipe at the American media because you've heard me say this before. I said people get the government they deserve. And I always blamed it on voters being uneducated, uninformed, and, you know, voting along either party lines, racial lines, gender lines, without even paying attention to policy. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I don't think it's really the voters completely. Some people always will. But I've seen so much. This campaign and has more misinformation being thrown than any I can remember. And I think it's just progressively getting worse every election cycle to the point where how could people make an informed decision when everything is a freaking lie? Everything, and not by the candidates. The media is doing this.
Yeah.
And not challenging anything. And, you know, I'll give you a couple quick examples. I mean this. What's really scary to me is we used to make fun of Pravda, mm-hmm. like government-run newspaper in the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. that for doing things like this. They would just make things up and put them out, and people had no access to outside news sources. Well, what do you think is happening here? How can you possibly make an informed decision? You don't really know what the hell the truth is because no one reports it anymore. And there's so many. I went through some work for this segment today because I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to fact check a couple things. We'll start with they're doing it now to the with Kamala. I just saw a meme of her with the Jeffrey Epstein. And like, that's, you know, I find humor in these things. But as the vice president of the United States, like, I'm not a fan of hers, but like,
respect the office.
Yeah, like, respect the office. I mean, it's not something you should be doing to people. And who knows what's next? J.D. Vance now is getting all kinds of crap about the story of the couch. And, you know, he's being put into...
The couch humper,
yeah.
And dolphins. You gotta look, anyway.
He's also had an amazing backstory, though. Like, where he came from. He came from absolutely dirt poor hillbilly...
Yeah,
what's
his name? Hillbilly Elegies. The based book. On him. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a great story. And, you know, and now I see all the, you know, the stuff about Trump. Was he a bully? I couldn't care less. You already know what you got with him. He was the president. Make a decision off of that. Then I saw something reported where Biden went and said, he's like, the economy has never been better. The border has been secure. The border issue. Now they're saying Kamala wasn't in charge of the border. Then I just saw a bunch of, of videos. Mostly. They announced he was in charge of the border. Years ago, and they kept announcing it.
And so, see, and you know, the conversations you and I have all the time, and it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to get your media. you're ignoring half of the things that are going on in the world and trying to twist it to fit your narrative for your listeners.
Yes.
Because it's no longer about reporting the actual news. It's about keeping viewers there so your ratings are high.
Well, I heard some talk, because I watch, I do this on purpose. I watch left and right news. I watch Fox, I watch CNN, MSNBC. I want to see how the stories of the day are being reported. So I saw one, I think it was MS, I can't remember which left station it was, but the economy has never been better. This is all misinformation about, I looked it up. Like, it's about immigration. It's up 318% illegal immigrants. 7,984 have come in under Biden versus 1,912 under Trump. 12-month, the economy has never been better. The 12-month inflation rate of 9.1% is the largest since 1981. Gas hit a record of $5.16 in July of 22, and mortgage rates have surged to 7.79 October of last year.
Gas was $5?
They probably go with the highest in the country.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, they probably go to California or something. Yeah, right. Yeah. But they do look at unleaded regular and at its highest. So it was 5.16. I think it was higher than that, actually, in California, because it was like, I heard it was $7 or $8 a gallon out there.
I remember I worked at the Bel Air Athletic Club at the little health or like snack bar they had. And my tip money would be my gas money for the month.
Right.
And it wasn't a lot of tip money either. It was, you know, you'd have like 1 week, you might end up with like $40. And that was my gas.
But
for
it's
the
changed
month.
So drastically, because when I lived in Tampa, and that's 20 years ago, granted. But I remember filling my motorcycle and it was like, just, I don't know why this, because I remember. Because the Petcock, I forgot I had one because it was an old bike.
You had a Petcock?
I did.
Oh. Yeah. You never brought it in for us to see it.
I carry it every day. No, Petcock is it's like a reserve tank on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know that?
I
know that.
I only know it because of the Howard Stern show, and they were talking about Petcock on the limousine.
I didn't realize, I've never had a bike that was that old, so I just assumed it was empty, and then I forgot I had a reserve with the Petcock. I saw a wheel into a gas station, it was $1.71. That's a lot different than now. We're paying $4.59 a gallon.
I remember when I first moved to South Carolina, of course, it was the early 90s, at the racetrack, gas station called Racetrack, gas was 79 cents a gallon. 79 cents a gallon.
I am obviously older, as Jeremy reminds us every day.
What?
I remember when we used to just go riding around, like you see in the movies on 86th Street in Brooklyn, like whoever could drive, who was old enough to drive, it was 36 cents a gallon when I was a teenager.
Ooh.
36 cents a gallon.
Ooh.
But anyway, my point is, you know, and now the report, like the FBI director goes on and says Trump wasn't shot with a bullet. First of all, he was, according to the doctors. You're not.
But that goes back to what I was saying. You know what I read? Not what I was saying. I was just asking you guys if you thought there was validity to this report that I saw online.
Yeah, and now it's like, again, who cares? He was shot at. He was shot with a bullet. It was even as a fragment, not a fragment. You don't diminish it. And then, of course, the people don't think it happened or it was staged. And again, I almost don't blame them for being nutty, because how can you make sense out of all this? If someone's telling you the economy's never been better, it's the highest inflation rate in 40 years, how can you make an informed decision? I heard the economy's great. Every indicator says no, including, I guarantee, when you go to a store. I told you, I was in Sprouts, and this guy, he looked like a little bit like Loxley. It wasn't him. He's like, look at a coach. He's in a tracksuit, and he looked a little bit like Loxley. We're standing next to each other buying chicken. The guy turns, and he goes, when'd you have to be a millionaire to afford chicken? It's like chicken breast for like $13. Like, yeah, it's like, this is what we're living with now. So, you know, we have an important election coming up. And how can you possibly, like, how do people make an informed decision to vote? Seriously.
I don't like what you said 5 minutes ago. I listen to the right news, I listen to the left news. How come we can't just listen to the news?
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I mean.
That's my problem. Why do I have to listen? Yeah.
Can't
to
they just report the facts?
Is it really news if you have two different sides?
And aren't they just supposed to tell you this is where we are?
Yeah.
This is how many murders we have.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What the economy is,
there's also a big problem with, you know, as you point out, not believing what's going on and what's reported. Yeah, we can go back to the election being stolen, okay?
Yeah.
I'm doing air quotes. They run through it all. The reports come back and say, no, it wasn't, but it doesn't matter what they report. You're still not believing it. And when I did The World of Stupid this morning, look, we did one on politics, or we talked about politics last week and some of the stuff that went on, and we got complaints all over the place. You do one now on you know, what's happening in the world and all the things that have gone on. It's like, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe this. And I don't know that we get anywhere until people actually start sitting down and having a conversation about what's really happening.
Thanks a lot, Ed Norris. Joe LaCroix's Encore at 9:45. But on the other side, Jeremy, I got some change in my pocket. Just my pocket's on the backside because my pants are on backwards.
Yeah, they are on backwards. But, all right, so yesterday went 2-3 in my top plays. They started off great. Saturday was the same thing. Started off 3-0 and had some tough luck. But, you know, a couple of big calls. And then we have some matchups today. There's a lot of weather to talk about. And baseball, so we've got, it's Paul Skeens Day, too, and if you like him, he's going up against the Astros. We'll chat about it. That's coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, so, by the way, I want to tell people right now, we're giving away tickets to see Missy Elliott. That's right, two tickets to see Missy Elliott's Out of This World experience. 410-583-1057. We'll take caller number 5. Thursday, CFG Bank Arena, courtesy of Live Nation. To get yourself a purr.
What was the for Missy Elliott?
Huh?
What was that?
She does that in all her songs. You know, she's got all these. It's like before Cardi B started doing all that stuff. Anyway, let's get into what happened this weekend. A little frustrating. Not that it was a losing weekend or anything. Had a winning night Friday, winning day Saturday. But when you hit your first three bets on, like, Saturday, or you hit your first two bets yesterday, you feel like you're in a good place. And so what happened? I had Houston yesterday. They lost. I had the Jays. I had the Jays every day this weekend over the Rangers. They beat them in all three games. And then on top of it, you know, looking back at some of the games that we had in yesterday's matchup, I had Arizona. They blew it in extra. It was 4-4 going into extra innings. Yesterday I thought was an interesting slate because we had a lot of, I guess you could say, virtual pick'em games where you're picking one side or the other and looking at the totals. I hate saying all the time, like, you feel like you got hosed on a couple of them, but when you lose a game by a half a run and you lose another game by a run, it kind of feels that way, especially in the way that you lose them with two runs being scored late. But these things happen. I mean,
he was about half a run, man. He put his right foot on the plate. All he had to do was put his left foot on it.
See? And then we would have got the whole
thing.
Got
the whole run.
But point being is, over the weekend, looking at some stuff and trying to go through these games, seeing what teams are going to be, I always tell people to be very cautious when you're betting these games because of the trade deadline. Like, I liked the White Sox yesterday. I didn't make it a top play because I didn't know how long Garrett Crochet was going to go. Would have lost. He didn't have it yesterday. He looked bad. But, you know, he's gone four innings or less, four and two in his last three starts before yesterday. So you got to pay attention to these things and how they're handling some of their players. Orioles have a doubleheader today. I do like quite a bit. So let me run through the weather real quick. Orioles over, obviously, in both games. Weather a little bit better in the early game, but they're both fantastic spots. The Phillies over is one of the best spots in the day. Red Sox over, but I'm fading it, and I'll tell you why. Mets over, good play. Cardinals over, Royals over. All of these are good plays based upon the weather. Now, does it mean those games are going to go over? No, because what do I like to do? I like to look at some things, see where the money's going, watch the line movement, check teams' bullpen, see how things look. But I do think a couple of these spots are really good. For the Orioles today, I'm taking the Orioles in game one. I'm laying the big price tag. I'm not taking them -1.5 at home. Me personally, I don't bet home teams on the run line because you play for a one-run win, and we've seen too many things get goofy with guys getting on base. And it's like, we don't have to worry about him running around the base path. We got to worry about the guy at home plate. So I like the Orioles in game one with Zach Eflin's first start. I think he comes out and pitches well, especially against that predominantly right-handed Blue Jays lineup. Game two, we get Cade Povich and more than likely a bullpen game from the Blue Jays. And if you've watched the Blue Jays, their bullpen is what some might call god-awful. So I'm going to take that one over 9. Here's what else I like. The best play on the slate, I think, is the Yankees and Phillies over 9.5. Phenomenal hitting weather. You look at the pitching matchup, Luis Gil, and I know what everybody's going to say, but he's been really good since then. So is that Phillies lineup, and there's a lot of lefty power in there. For the Phillies going up against the Yanks, I guess you could say the new-look Yanks, it's Zach Wheeler. So it is a tremendous pitching matchup, right? The total's 9.5. There's a reason why that total's 9.5 with two really good pitchers going. So I do like the over there. I like the Red Sox and Seattle under. Why? Because of the pitching matchup. Again, wind's blowing out. It's a hot day in Fenway. It's a great spot for an over. But why am I telling you to take the under?
Yeah, why?
Because we have two strikeout pitchers. We have guys that can really do some damage. And Logan Gilbert doesn't walk anybody. He doesn't give up a ton of hard contact. He can keep the ball on the ground. On the flip side, the number two pitcher on today's slate is Nick Pivetta. What do we know about Seattle? They can't hit. They stink. That's why he grades out as the second best pitcher on today's slate. Lots of strikeouts in that lineup. I'll take my chances with the under at 8.5. I do like the Royals and White Sox to go over 9. Not a particularly great pitching matchup. Chris Flexen is a guy that we typically attack. For Kansas City, they're trotting out Alec Marsh, another guy that we like to attack, even if it is the freaking White Sox. Mets and Twins, I like them to go over. Weather supports it. It's not even that great of a pitching matchup in my mind. Jose Quintana can get some soft contact, a lot of ground balls for the Mets. And then you look at Simeon Woods-Richardson for the Twins. He's had his up and down. So I like the fact that the bats here can get going. Francisco Lindor should be an MVP candidate. I'm not telling you he should win because that's Shohei Ohtani's award. But what he's done, he's got a 5F war over the past 2 months. He's just been fantastic. One of the reasons why the Mets keep winning besides Grimace. And then I like the Guardians and I like the Cubs today. And I'm going to look at some more stuff. There's a 3 o'clock game with the Orioles. That's the earliest game. The other games start around 6. And then you get all the late games. But I do think it's interesting for Oriole fans. Again, going back to it, I think Zach Eflin pitches well in his first start today. So I like that spot for him. And I like the over in the second game. It'd be hard for me to tell you not take the over in both games. But I think Eflin's going to pitch well today. So I'm going to take my chances.
I'm excited
there.
To see him.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm excited to see him too. 410-583-1057. Ed in Towson. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing good. I heard you earlier, Rob, talking about Mountcastle and Mullins, and I get it. And you were pretty passionate about Mountcastle, and I understand that. And I come from is a coach speak perspective, so I apologize to guys. In coaching, I've had guys like that. Like I've seen, we have really really talented guys. They got a really good upside. They're probably playing the league. And I'm talking right now as we speak. Then we got other guys who are what I call lunch pail kids. You know, and when I say lunch pail hardhead guys that are going to punch in every game, they're going to be there. They may have lapses And, you know, they might go through waves, but as far as what they do defensively and with their bats, they're guys that recognize the situation and are going to get key hits in those high leverage situations. The young Bucks are going to, they're going to be stars, but sometimes those guys have, they're young and they are, they're like stallions. You know what I'm saying? They just want to knock it out the park. That's the nature of guys like that. I've coached guys like that. And you need a mix of guys who always can play within their self. And that's what I don't know baseball. I don't know baseball as much. I just know football. We've always had a mix of those guys. One guy might be going to Richmond. This guy's going to Michigan. But we need both of them because the Michigan guy may miss a few assignments because he's trying to swing for the fences. The guy that's going to Richmond playing defensive end, which is a real story, is always going to be there 24/7. And I know it's this is coach speak, so I'm sorry. But you do need a mix of those guys when you're trying to win a championship. You can win a lot of games with that. But if you're trying to win a championship, those Mountcastles kind of get it in high leverage situations all the time. And, you know, I hope it makes sense. But that's what I see in what you're talking about, with Mullins included, those 24/7 guys. Take care, y'all.
Thanks a lot. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
I have a family member, and if he's listening, I won't name his name because I think it would embarrass him today.
What's it rhyme with?
I can't say this one because you'll get why. My great-grandmother, who is now passed, he would slowly put on porn to where she would hear it and look over, and she would try to get it. Oh, look at the TV! And as soon as you look, everybody looked at the TV, change it back.
How do you slowly put on porn?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. How do you slowly do that?
You slowly
How do you slowly turn it? Do you have a knob instead of the push buttons? Like, does it fade in the screen?
But
does it go to from Monday Night Football?
Hold on.
Slowly.
His TV looks like Joe's board.
Yeah, he potted up porn. That's what he did. But here's the best part of it is that, you know, my great-grandmother, who we called Gray Hair Granny, that was what we called her because my grandmother had black hair.
She had gray hair.
Yeah, and she was a granny. But the best part of this was as that was going on, she kept seeing, like, oh, oh, and then he turned it off real quick, and then everybody said, what are you watching? So the best part was she ended up telling a story because she felt so comfortable about the time that she slept with a little Indian guy.
Is it Gandhi?
I don't know what type of, because this is, you're going way back, so I don't know what
was it, like an Apache
about.
Or was it from Bombay?
I think we're part of the Cherokee tribe. I don't know. Or at least we're adjacent. We're Cherokee adjacent.
You would be getting casino money.
Hey.
There you go.
Hey.
And I'm probably in trouble for that.
Oh, why? Because I wanted to go A at the end, you know, just to bust Ed's chops. A, you know, he's doing all the Italian stuff.
You know, I think it's so bad that Jeremy had to qualify by saying his grandmother had already passed just so I wouldn't say anything bad.
Yeah.
Hey, our grandmother passed. Okay, all right. I'll lay off.
That was the encore brought to you by Naloxone.
Oh, sorry, we're talking over your read.
When people use opioids that run the risk of overdosing, but with Naloxone, you can administer a life-saving dose. For more information, visit stopoverdose.maryland.gov or call or text 988.
What do you think, real quick, about Jason through with Celtics?
Oh, Jason Tatum?
Not paying it yesterday.
So there was
at all 0 minutes.
Some people think
is
this
that
is
when Kerr said he beating himself up over that.
Well, Kerr, he was the only one that didn't get in the game. Tyrese Halliburton. I watched the whole game yesterday. Halliburton and Jason Tatum were the two that didn't get in, and then Halliburton eventually did. So Tatum was the only guy that didn't get in. His teammate Derek White got in, and Tatum is the alpha on that team, or at least one of the two. So they asked Tatum after the game, like, "Hey, what happened?" He goes, "I don't know. I'm fine." And then Steve Kerr said he's in our game plans for other games. I didn't get that. But again, some of these guys have to take a back seat.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the one.
And Kerr, I think Kerr said he regretted it.
Sounds like an idiot is what he said. And now it's time to find out what we learned today. We learned today, Edward Norris.
We were talking about during Commissioner's Baltimore, Jeremy mentioned stolen elections and people, some do, some believe it's not true. I know for a fact it happens. I just want to impart this story quickly for people. When I was the chief investigator for New York City, which I was at one point in my life, We did all kinds of political stuff. I interviewed a Dominican woman who voted for David Dinkins. She was allowed to. She's not a citizen.
Mr. Dinkins, will you please be our mayor?
She voted for Dinkins, and the way it worked was there was a councilman. You would go to him. He would get your family in with some fake paperwork somehow from your country, and you would vote on the name of a dead Puerto Rican, and then they give you the name and the election district to go to. And since there's no ID, we estimate 40,000 votes like that took place. And Dinkins won. He beat Giuliani the first time. So I know firsthand elections, some of them are rigged. It really happened. So, and they wouldn't let us prosecute because they said, well, it's historic now, so he's already in office. Forget it. So that was that.
I want to say congratulations to my friends Jake and Zoe, brand new baby girls, Harper James, 7 pounds now, 9 ounces, 20 inches. Also, happy birthday to Kelly Conroy. Couple of national holidays, National Lipstick Day, Jeremy, you can celebrate that. National Chicken Wing Day and National Lasagna Day.
Right, Craig Kimbrell Day.
Yeah, there you go.
Chicken wing.
Couple of birthdays.
Bologna.
Writer Ken Burns turned 71 today. Teddy Atlas turned 68 today. That's right. Ryan Braun turns 44 today. Chad Billingsley 40, and Dak Prescott 31. Since we're running out of time, I didn't play the game today.
Yeah. Okay. I'll run through some of these quickly. Ed, piggybacking off what you said. Wait, you mean we have actual fact checkers who know all the facts? Why not create a television channel where they just give us the facts? We could call it the news.
How about that?
I've learned so much from my mistakes that I'm actually thinking about making a few more. I just fired myself from cleaning my house. I don't like my attitude, and I got caught drinking on the job.
It's a pretty good day. Yeah.
Not saying I'm old, but when I was in school, we made our parents... Oh, I did that one last week. We made our parents ashtrays for Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember that. Both times.
This isn't as much of a joke as it is a statement. As you get older, paid off sounds better than brand new.
True. All right. That's absolutely true.
Here you go. If laziness was an Olympic sport, I'd come in fourth just so I wouldn't have to walk up to the podium. At my age, the only pole dancing I do is that safety bar in the bathroom holding on to that thing. And here you go. You know how old people don't have a filter and don't give a crap about what other people think?
Yes.
That's me. I'm old people. You don't get that?
No.
Anyway, that's it. You don't get that one?
I do, but you ended on a dud. You were like,
you were here.
Yeah, I didn't. Come on, man.
You were up here. What do you want me to do?
They got to come in and watch the next show? Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Manic Monday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.